Okay, we're going to have a full hour of open lines for you now. By the way, tomorrow, Deborah Blum joins us. Ghost Hunters. Some real incredible stories about ghosts and what they've been trying to do to find them. You're going to enjoy that. Thursday, first hour, special two-part edition with our roving reporter, Linda Moulton Howe. She's got a report for us on that. Remember that red rain that fell over India a couple of years ago? They think it came from space, and they think it had some kind of DNA in it. She's got a full report for us, and then an incredible story about some crop formations in England, followed by Pat Buchanan joining us for State of the Emergency, his special with us on illegal immigration. So get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome to Open Lines now on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Let's pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. Good morning, wherever you are.
Well, good morning, George.
Hi, where are you?
I am I'm a truck driver in Arizona, heading to Phoenix, Arizona. Here goes the horn.
Okay, now, that's a good-sounding horn.
It's a Volvo.
I like that.
Hey, now, you know, it was an interesting night. The first time I tried, second time I tried the call, I got through one time and unfortunately, because I'm a cell phone, I lost the signal. But this is great. I remember going to the St. Augustine. They have a Ripley's Believe It or Not down there. And I went there when I was a kid, about 12 years old. And when you walk in the front foyer, there's a man, he's about 10 foot tall. I mean, he would make Andre the Giant look small.
10 foot? I mean, was he on, like, stilts or something?
I don't know. It's just like he wasn't a man. It was just like a puppet of the man. It was like a statue, but they said it was a real man. He was around 10 foot tall, and I never will believe the size of this guy. And I was wondering myself, was this guy really real, you know?
I don't think we've had, at least in this society, a human being that's that tall.
Oh, you got to see it. You got to see this, George. This is great. I mean, and this was supposed to be a real guy. He's almost 10 foot tall. And you might want to ask the gentleman that was there before about it, because that was a really big guy, and I couldn't believe some of the stuff.
Now, was this guy, did he die? Has he passed on, did they say?
I guess he had already passed on. I think it was something like the end of the turn of the century or something like that. He was supposed to be a real guy, and they had a statue of him there, and he was almost 10 foot tall.
All right. Well, was he really skinny, or was he like a huge giant
no,
type?
No, very big guy.
Okay.
Huge muscle.
We'll check into that.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Nice talk to you, George.
Appreciate it. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast.
How dare you?
It's JC. How dare me what?
How dare you? I was on the phone on hold for half an hour. I was calling last night to put you in your place because that conversation you were having with that hussy, it got salacious.
What are you talking about?
Listening to it last night. You and that girl last night going on and on. I bet you get carded all the time. How beautiful you are.
I never called her.
It was disgusting to hear. I wanted to tell you to get a room, for God's sake.
JC, now you know how righteous I am. You are out of line.
I am righteous. You said that before. You're confused, Mr. Norrie. I am the most righteous man in America.
No, I'm beginning to think you are Satan.
No, you are.
You said Art was Satan. I'm not Satan.
No, Art is the devil's mouthpiece. He is Satan's spokesperson. And Art has gotten more and more delved into the dark arts. He's becoming more imbibed with dark energies and powers that the devil is giving to him. And so he is of the devil. But you, last night I was calling to chastise you and that hussy that you had on the air because it was disgusting to hear you two going on.
What are you talking
on.
About? We were talking about education last night, something that you need
book
to learn.
Learning. Book learning, which is evil.
Book learning is evil?
That's right. Less book learning, more book burning. That's what I always say.
Now, have you
because
read...
People try to get educated and think they're smarter than God.
Have you ever read the Bible, JC?
I have read the Bible.
Isn't that a book?
Yes, it is.
Does that make it evil?
No. It's the only book worth reading.
But you just said book reading was evil.
Books by man. Evil books. Disgusting books.
Science books are evil books?
Yes, because they're making up lies about what God made up, trying to figure God's stuff out, and that's wrong. That's where science is, has arrogance. Science is the new religion. In order to believe these cockamamie theories like evolution, you have to take it at their word, and you have to, what you have to invest into science to believe it? Faith.
JC, you've been possessed.
I am not possessed. I am insulted that you would even insult
me. You need to be exercised.
How dare you? How dare you insult me? Someone with the criminality of your content of character insulting me? The righteous general for God?
I don't know. I think that if you were in a room with a bunch of exorcists, they'd go running out in fear.
They would run out because they have the devil in them. They would run away from my righteous might. And that's the thing is, your listeners, I'm telling you right now, I am God's 10-star general in the war against media pornography.
You need to take a chill pill.
No! This is not the time. Listen, this is not the time. Okay, everybody says we got to fight back. No, we got to fight forward in the war on media pornography. It's not a time to sit back and fight back. It's the time to fight forward and press against the enemy. And that's why I'm saying, you know, I'm God's general in God's army against media pornography, and I'm not getting enough people signing up at boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com, so I'm going to institute a draft. And I'm going to draft people into my army. You'll get a personal contact from me, and you will be told where to report, and you will enlist, and you will serve in the war against media pornography. And that's how it's going to be.
Are you going to bring me in on this army?
No, I don't bring in criminals.
All right, JC.
Criminal masterminds like yourself. And I'm going to tell you also, we're fighting against the scourge of media pornography and rampaging lesbians all over the country.
JC, you're going to have a stroke. You need to calm down.
I am not going to have a stroke. God's got me in power. I'm in God's hands. God's got the power of anointing on me. And I'm telling you right now that God is going to punish the world for not repenting of their sins.
All right, go to bed, JC.
No, I'm going to be up listening to every minute of your program.
All right, JC.
Don't you insultate me. Don't you take that tone with me. That's insultation and insolence. It's disgusting.
I learned it from the master, JC.
Yes, your master. Who's your master?
Mr. Bell.
That's right. Just what I thought. You, listen.
We're in cahoots, JC. We
I know
talk
you
about
are
you
in
all
You're
the time.
You're trying to corrupt Ian.
Well, Ian,
trying to turn him against God.
And we'll get him too, Jay-Z.
That's what you always say. And that's why people are afraid to stand up against you, not to syndicate your show, because they don't want to wake up with a horse head in their bed. Because you don't cross Godfather Nori. That's one thing that's on the street that everybody knows.
I will say this thing, JC.
I'll stand against you.
We do love God, though. I will say that.
I love the Lord.
So
more than you. And I'm going to tell you what, God doesn't love you. God hates you.
God doesn't hate anybody, JC.
He hates you, and he hates homosexuals and willful women and lesbians.
JC, go take your pill.
Excuse me, I don't do drugs. That's your friend, Mr. Bell, who was telling everybody the last weekend, do drugs, try drugs, psychedelics are going to make you free, and abuse drugs. And
JC?
I don't do drugs.
Hang up on me so I'm not accused of hanging up on you.
How dare you? How dare you? Don't tell me what to do. You don't command me. I command you. I give you commands.
No, I give you the commands.
No, I give you the commands.
No, I give you the commands.
You.
No, you.
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 You. Good night, JC. All right, I hope you're getting proud of me. I'm learning this guy. I really am doing the best I can. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to talk to someone normal.
Sort of, not really.
Oh, great.
My name is Susan. I'm from Calgary.
Hi.
And something really weird happened to me last Friday.
What happened?
Well, I was untangling my hair, and all of a sudden I felt a sharp pain. And when I looked down, a strand of my hair had actually stabbed my thumb. And it wasn't in between the thumb and the nail.
You mean like a strand of your hair stuck into your thumb?
Yes.
Well, you know what? That's not totally uncommon. You know, some people, you know, that once a long time ago, believe it or not, I had a hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck in. It was almost like a sliver.
Uh-huh.
That does happen. I don't know how, but it does. If it hits you at the right point. I bet a lot of people that's happened to.
Well, you know what? I have long hair, and it was in a quarter inch.
Yeah, that's weird.
and my husband had to pull it out for me. I was so freaked out.
And they got the whole thing, so you didn't get an infection or anything like that?
To the best of my knowledge.
Well, that's what you're calling about?
Yeah, but it wasn't in between the nail and the thumb. It was right in the middle of the thumb.
Yeah, no, that's, you know what? I guarantee you that's happened to a lot of people.
Thank God.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Appreciate it. We'll take all stories here on Coast to Coast. Next time, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to relate a miracle that happened the other week during that war in Beirut.
Okay, what happened?
Well, this visiting priest at my parish, his monastery over there, was came under attack,
mm-hmm.
and one of the missiles came right through the roof, right into his room, but it didn't explode.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, and he was living proof because he was right there telling us, you know. It happened like a week before he came to our parish. So I just thought, you know, at the time, you know, when I wanted to originally get in and call this, it was like during the war. But, you know, it took me this long to get through.
I tell you
so
what.
I finally got through.
There's a reason he's been kept alive.
Yeah, exactly. He was a very good priest. And his sermon was right to the point, you know.
Well, I hope they rebuild that. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. That's a little gift from upstairs. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Good.
My name is Chris. I'm from Seattle.
Hi, Chris.
I just moved here from, I was from Santa Cruz, California.
Sure.
Anyways, you aren't going to believe this. My aunt works at Stanford doing x-ray tech. She's an x-ray tech at Stanford Medical Center.
All right.
This is when I was living down there about 5 years ago or so. I guess this Middle Eastern guy was a taxi driver, right? And he had a turban. You know, he always wore a turban. And he got in a car accident. He was, you know, involved in a car accident. So they took him to the hospital. This is the only way I think anybody would even find out. And I know it sounds unbelievable, but so he gets to the hospital, and they're doing x-rays and stuff, and they ask him to take off his hat, and literally his head is like eaten. It's caved in as if like a watermelon. You've just chomped and ate a watermelon for 2 hours, and it's halfway eaten.
Oh,
in his brain.
God.
And there were hundreds, maybe thousands, but my aunt said hundreds and hundreds of maggots.
No. In his head?
And hundreds of maggots inside his head, squirming around in his brains. They were falling all over the place. One of the techs had to, like, run out of the room and throw up. People couldn't even handle it. It was the talk of the hospital for weeks. So my aunt had to x-ray this guy.
What happened to you? That's the weirdest sound I've ever heard. Engineer Steve, what makes that noise?
That's a bad sound.
They got him right at the end. That is one bizarre story. I can't. I you know what? One of those dings and bonks. I don't believe that one. How can a guy have a head full of maggots and still be alive? There's just no way. I don't think. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there. Strange. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. George? Hi. Welcome, sir. That was a weird story. Did you hear that?
I certainly did.
I don't believe it, but it's weird.
Yeah, that was one for Ripley's, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're gonna have to send the guy with the maggot head off to Ripley's. Believe it or not.
I'm calling about Ripley's. An old story. Mr. Ripley actually witnessed Charles Atlas, the strongman from contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
Of him, who was in all the comic books years ago, and actually says it on their website, the Charles Atlas website, about how he actually witnessed, Mr. Ripley witnessed Charles Atlas saving a bunch of people in a in rough water. They were stranded in the ocean, and he actually pulled their boat out by hand during the storm, and saved all their lives.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I saw it on there in the history part of the Charles Atlas website. It's really kind of interesting.
Did Ripley do those sketches of Atlas in the beginning?
I think he did a few. He also did the article where he pulled the train in Brooklyn.
It was, right.
And then what was kind of interesting about that, he pulled the train one direction, and he was in his 40s, I think, Mr. Atlas. So he pulls this train, and in typical Brooklyn fashion, they all yelled at him. They said, you pulled it downhill. So he's pulling the thing, you know, and anyway, he's working really hard. The guy's in his 40 years old, and he's pulling this huge train. I forget how much, probably 77 tons. And so he untied the rope. They untied the rope, and then he pulled it the other direction just to prove it. So just kind of old, interesting story.
Yeah, I got a kick out of talking about Ripley's life. I was fascinated with him when I was a kid.
Yeah, I know their old website. I looked at it, and it was really incredible, and I guess their new one's going to be even better. It was like a little game. You had to play a game to get into the doors. It was really something.
Yeah, they're clever people. Hey, thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. Yeah. This is Dan. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Anyways, I wanted to relate a story I heard on the news tonight that seems to be another sign of the times. They announced that here in Los Angeles that it would be mandatory for all dog owners to get their dogs neutered and spayed and microchipped.
And microchipped, yeah.
Yep.
I'm not too opposed about the neutering in Spain, but the microchipping, here we go.
Okay, well, personally, I am opposed to both, but mandatory, that is. But, yeah, it's definitely seems to be the end of our choices and also the beginning of the chip thing.
Just a matter of time before they try to do it to us.
It seems so.
Would you do it if they force you to?
No. And they say that, you know, apparently if they catch people, and I don't know how they're going to know if a dog is spayed or not, the neutering we can all figure out, but they will find them. So I guess maybe if people are just willing to pay the fine, and I don't know how strongly they'll enforce this, but I personally would not.
I got to tell you, I was driving after the show a couple days ago, and I was at an intersection, stopped, and there must have been six dogs. This is like 3 a.m, six dogs running around there. And for a moment, I'm saying to myself, would they attack you if you were walking by them? I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to take that chance.
Right. Well, I know in wild areas, there are wild packs of dogs, but my experience, we've had dogs for years in my family, and as long as you take care of them, we never had any problem with them creating puppies anywhere, but I think it's a lot of human irresponsibility.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yep. You know what? In all ways, it's irresponsible. What kind of dogs do you have?
We had a Rottweiler, and right now we have a Kerry Blue. I'm not at home anymore. But my mom takes care of them.
Well, that's great. All right, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program.
Thank you.
Got to love animals. You don't have to own them. Just love them. And I told you once, a couple years ago, I went on this date with this gorgeous woman, and we started talking, and she said, I don't like animals. I said, what do you mean you don't like animals? Because I figure, a lot of people can't own one because of their lifestyle. She says, no, I just don't like animals. They're stinky and smelly. And that was the end of the date. I did pay for the dinner, though. I was even debating whether I should have done that. I'll be back. We've still got a half hour to go. Final open lines right here while I take a rest from JC. I'll be back. Okay, we're going to be back. We're going to take your final phone calls, open lines this hour, and then we'll do it all again tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm in trouble. I need help.
You're in trouble. What's wrong?
Well, remote viewers are trying to kill me just like your aunt. And I can tell you how they did your aunt. But I have 50 dogs and the fleas and the heat are killing them. And I want... The rescuers are supposed to come and pick them up.
Where are you? What city?
I'm in Texas.
You're in Texas.
Yes. But I wanted them to, if the people locally come and get them, they're going to kill them. And I want them to have a situation where they can be cross-trained. They're hunting dogs. And I want them to be cross-trained for search and rescue and for, like, detecting cancer. Or I have put way too much energy into these dogs.
Oh, now tell me a little bit about, is this a breeding kennel you have? Or how did you?
No, this is all accidental. And as I said, the remote viewer, I haven't heard anything about how to keep remote viewers out. And how magic works is they use the natural things around you and...
Well, I'm going to give you a little technique in a moment. And you got to use it, and if you got to believe in it in order for it to work. But these dogs you've accumulated have come by accidental births and things like that.
That's
and you just
correct.
Kept them. What are they mixed, or is it a certain kind of breed you have here?
They are mixed. They are hound, black and tan, with lab, with German Shepherd.
All right, and I assume they live outside?
Yes.
Okay.
We're on 30 acres out in the woods, and they protect me from the wild animals. We have wild pigs and panthers.
All right, you've got 50 dogs running around, though, all over the place?
Yes, and they really protect the neighborhood, but I can't handle it anymore.
So you have, what, asked someone to come and pick them up? Is that...
That's correct, I have.
Like who? Who's coming to get them?
The Humane Society.
Okay, so when do they come and get them?
I'm supposed to be in touch with them tomorrow.
All right. So now where's the problem?
The problem is we're in starvation, both me and the dogs. And I know that you are interested in the Bohemian Grove and the 911 tragedy. And here on my estate, I live alone in property that I inherited from my grandparents. There's an ashtray called Farber Brothers. It has New York NYC 101 on it. And there's nothing about it on Google at all. It's definitely an occult item. And it's handmade by the Farber Brothers. And I'm trying to sell it so I can have some money to support myself and support the few of the dogs I need to keep.
I have
to keep some of them.
What's this thing worth?
$12,000.
$12,000?
Yes.
Well, why don't you take it to, like, Sotheby's?
It's on eBay.
It's yours and it's on eBay?
Yes.
Oh, you already have it up there.
Yes. I put it on an eBay drop-off.
Well, what's the best bid you've gotten so far?
I don't know. I haven't checked with it. I don't have a computer. And
well, how'd you get it up on eBay, then?
They have a little store that you can just go drop things off.
Oh, okay. So you did that.
Yes,
well, why don't you take it to, like, Sotheby's if you think this is a relic worth something?
Pardon?
Take it to one of those auctioneer houses.
I am so far in a remote location, and I really need my spiritual and psychic upline through you because I think I know things that people are trying to kill me, George. They really are.
Why?
Because I know more than I should know, like who's in this area is manipulating the weather. I've been.
They're trying to kill you because you know who's manipulating the weather?
Yes.
Nobody would want to kill you over that.
Pardon?
Nobody would want to kill you over that.
They would if they don't want me to tell you.
Well, you're already doing that.
That's correct. And I have to get rid of the dogs, and I have to leave. And
well, all right. Let's do these things in a little logical fashion. You can't afford 50 dogs. You've got them running around your 30-acre little estate here.
Right.
You've got to make sure the Humane Society comes and picks them up because you don't want them to die or get sick. So you're going to do that tomorrow morning?
Are.
You wake up in the morning and get them to come get those dogs? They could arrest you, you know, for endangering these animals. You don't want to do that. So get them taken care of.
You're right. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, get these dogs. Tell them, look, I don't have any money. I'm asking you to please take these animals. Once you do that and you go on record as saying, look, I can't take care of them, they'll come and get them. And they won't cite you for anything if you've tried the best you can. So put them in the hands of the Humane Society
That's done.
And do that fast. Now, as far as you, and if you think people are remote viewing you, what you need to do is try to concentrate on encasing yourself almost like in a shield. And I don't know how powerful these remote viewers are, but you can be just as powerful.
There's three groups. There's the black tornadoes, the three black tornadoes. Like your dream, I have the same dream.
All right. Well, here you go. But just do one thing for me. You're going to call the Humane Society, get these dogs taken care of tomorrow?
That's done.
All right. And also put a shield around yourself, keep concentrating, and maybe you can keep these remote viewers from getting to you. As far as selling this relic on eBay, if you think this thing's worth $12,000, I would take it to an auctioneer house first and have them appraise it before you give it away on eBay. You don't want that to happen. Steve, take a look at eBay. See if we can get a little... No, I'm kidding you. Go take it to Sotheby's, all right? And see if you can get some money out of it. And take care of yourself. My. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Yes. I heard you talking earlier about having somebody on tomorrow talking about the red rain in India.
That's Thursday, yes. First hour, 10 o'clock Pacific time. Linda Moulton Howe.
By the way, this is Mike from New Mexico.
Hi, Mike.
Anyways, about 4 years ago, I was in the Navy, and I was stationed in Italy. And we took a trip to Rome. The first night we were there, came out of the hotel the next morning, and all of the cars were covered with, it almost looked like a red clay. But
mm-hmm.
it had rained the night before.
Much like what happened in India, it sounds like.
Yeah. And, I just thought it strange that it, I didn't really think that it could be dust or anything, especially with the amount that was on all the cars.
Yeah, it's pretty thick, isn't it?
Yes.
Almost sounds like the same thing. They're trying to figure out what it is, where it may have come from, because they think that the... It could be part of some kind of, I don't know, it could have had life in it. It's amazing. Yeah. Okay, appreciate you being on the program. Let's go next to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hello? Going once. Going twice. You're gone. We'll have to go to our East of the Rockies line then. Good morning.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
Hi, this is Danny from Danvers, listening to WRKO Boston.
Oh, sure. Hi.
Hi. First-time caller, by the way. I enjoy your show. I wanted to tell you a story my stepdad used to tell me years ago about a teacher he said could read minds. And he said this teacher had a closet, and she'd open it up, and there was actually a skeleton in there, a man's skeleton.
Not one of these plastic things.
No, it was actually a human skeleton.
All right.
And on the blackboard, she always had written, it was never erased, Mr. Clark, be here. And he said that two girls in the class, three of them actually, were talking one time going home. No one was around. And she said the next day to these kids, she said, I can read your minds. And I ever hear you talk like you talked about me, you're going to be very, very sorry.
Ooh, a vindictive teacher who can read your mind.
And then my dad said when he was in eighth grade, he had a teacher that was very short, would wear Cuban heels. And when that teacher came around, he said to my dad, you better keep your mind blank when you're around her. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that always kind of freaked me out, And he would tell that story every once in a while.
Did they like the teacher?
Yeah, he said she was a good teacher, but he said you just didn't. He said one time he was he carved his initials on the desk, and he said he was watching her, and she was facing toward the back blackboard, and she didn't even turn around, and she said, "Stop writing BHP in your desk."
That's creepy.
Yeah, and it was just one of George, a couple of weeks ago, you had somebody talking about the Mayan civilization and about, the Mayan calendar. And when you talk about end time prophecy, you play this Johnny Cash song, and I want to know what the name of it is in the album. It's not The Man Comes Around, but it's another one that talks about end time prophecy. And I just can't find it. I've been asking everywhere.
It's called Going by the Book.
And do you know, can you tell me the name of the album? Or isn't it in print anymore?
Mystery of Life is the name of the album.
Okay, thank you. Because I wanted to know, I've been calling all record stores, Tennessee, and everybody I've been asking. My wife said, will you get a life and leave people alone?
Yeah.
So yep. Going by the book, and it's on Mystery Life.
Yes, sir.
Well, oh, by the way, JC should have a new name. They should call him Junkyard Crud.
He's something else, huh?
Well, George, I appreciate your, and how do you like Los Angeles?
I love Los Angeles. Of course, I love St. Louis, and I love the flexibility of going back and forth. And I'm in L.A. 70% of the time. Uh-huh. I'm going to be tied here even more because this sci-fi project that we've been working on looks like it's going to go straight to the tube. We're working on a pilot now, but I think it's going to be by the fall, late fall. You know, I think we're going to have a 4 or 5 day a week talk show on television, which will be different from coast to coast. And then, of course, we'll have coast to coast at night. So I'm going to be wedded to Los Angeles a little bit more than I thought. And then I'll get to St. Louis during holidays and things because my kids are still there.
It's in the book. And what was the name of the album?
Mystery of Life.
Mystery of Life. Oh, by the way, George, is your book going to be put on Talking Book at all?
It is already recorded on audio, and you can get it on Amazon.com.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. You're welcome. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. My name is Wanda. I just tuned into your show today, and I've got absolutely no idea what you guys are talking about.
Well, then why did you just tune in, Wanda?
Because I want to know what you guys are talking about.
Good.
Oh,
well, now, it depends. What time did you tune in, and I'd be able to help you a little bit?
Oh, about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, and you're where?
I'm Alabama.
Okay, so you're in the central time zone, right, or are you east? Central?
Yes, east.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of in the middle.
Well, see, it's a different kind of program. At any different day, anything could happen. So you probably got a little bit about Ripley's Believe It or Not. You've heard of that before, right?
Yeah, of course.
So we talked about that. Now you're into our open line segment where everybody just calls and talks about things.
Okay, I understand that. Okay, so what do you guys talk about?
Everything. Politics? Nah, not a lot. But mysteries. Strange things. Supernatural things. Things that affect people. Stuff like that. It's a great show. It's highly rated. It's on close to 500 radio stations around the country. It's on XM Satellite. It's on the Internet. It's all over the place. We've got listeners of anywhere from 3 to 10 million people at any given time.
Well, a bunch of strange things have been happening around my house, but it's kind of not, nothing really that you could ever explain.
Like what? Ghosts?
Knocks? Well, probably. I mean, it's nothing that really strange to me. I mean,
we're talking about ghosts tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, really?
So you found this is the first night you've ever heard us?
Yeah, I'm kind of up a little too late than I should be.
Well, you have to stay up tomorrow and listen to the ghost stories.
Okay, yeah, I'm just kind of curious. I mean, when you hear knocks and creaks and doors opening, is that kind of like ghosts opening? Could be doors?
Or you have a very old creaky house.
Well, I do have a very old creaky house, but I've been living here for about a year and a half, and I haven't heard any of this.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just getting old, unless stranger things are happening.
Well, thank God I don't own it.
All right. Thanks, Wanda.
Well, thank you. You have a very good morning.
Okay. Very polite person. Found us for the first time. Another new listener. Chalk them up. It's now 10,000,001. There you go. Time for one or two more, and that is it for the night. West of the Rockies. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Sounds like you're driving somewhere.
Yeah, this is pretty bad here. This is Rick. I'm over here at Memphis, Texas.
Yeah.
On XM. Used to listen to you, they used to have you broadcast the replay. So I listened to you more than that one, dude, I'm telling you that. I used to. Anyway, I was calling in about UFO Phil and that JC. I believe they're the same guy.
You think so?
I think so.
You know what? I asked UFO Phil that one day, and he denied it. I'm not sure. I don't think so, but because they have different personalities. UFO Phil is a...
George, now, come on. See? You know, he could do that.
Who was that? Was that you?
That was me. That was me.
That was freaky.
Oh, George. And then the way he just says coast to coast and all that stuff just blows me away. So.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I play that on Fridays, right at the end.
Yeah, all righty. Well, I've just been listening to you for years. You know what?
You know, you scared me when you jumped in with that other voice.
just have a good time doing voices all the time, all night to myself. That's all you have to do out here.
All right. Be safe.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. This is Cody from Texas.
Yeah, Cody.
I got a shadow people story for you.
All right. And you got a minute. It's all yours.
All righty. I was at my cousin's place, and I looked to a window, and I seen a guy in a cowboy hat. Then he kind of like went into a window like he was taunting me and came back out and looked again. And at first I thought it was just all in my head. And I looked down to one of my friends and his jaw's on the ground. So
he saw the thing too.
Yeah.
The cowboy had it, but it looked like a shadow, no physical part of it. Right.
Yeah, it was almost like a silhouette. Like he had like his arm, like on his hip.
Yeah. What was he doing? Was he moving across the wall?
Yeah, he was like, there was like a window next to him, and he'd like move into the window, and he'd disappear, come back out, almost like he was taunting me.
And how did he finally disappear?
Honestly, I don't even remember. I just remember looking back, and he was gone.
Did you run away?
No, I just sat there, just like...
Just with your mouth open?
Yeah.
That's strange. That's a shadow person, Cody. You got one. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Interesting open lines. Always interesting when JC gets through. Isn't it? Well, tomorrow night, like I said, Deborah Blum will be our guest. We're going to be talking about ghosts and her theory about that. She is a scientific Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and she's a heavy hitter. Then on Thursday, of course, Linda Moulton Howe, first hour, and then we'll be joined by Pat Buchanan as we talk about this incredible illegal alien situation. As you know, I'm very interested in that topic, and Pat Buchanan's one of the best in the country to address that. So he'll be our guest Thursday, and then guess what? It's Friday night with some very different open lines. So make sure you're part of the program all week long. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then... Be safe, everyone.